You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Monday, June 13th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live. Steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. The largest mass killing since 9/11 on U.S. soil. 49 dead, 53 injured. As a 29-year-old, 30-year-old Omar Mateen shot up a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. Also on the program today, Ban Ki-moon admits UN subject to extortion over a report on the killing of children. And what's the matter with Kansas? A little bit less. Brexit, or potential Brexit vote, I should say. Vote on potential Brexit. 10 days away. And the Brexiters seem to be in the lead. We'll have someone on the program from Johns Hopkins tomorrow. Chris Christie running Mickey D runs for Donald Trump.
Would love your thoughts on that, Chris. But first, could you get me a Big Mac? Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Also, good exercise. Take a little walk.
Not only is he sending Chris Christie on Mickey D runs, Trump causing more GOP turmoil as Mitt Romney,
hello,
meets with Republicans to consternate. What were they doing there? I have no idea.
Have an aimless wine fest that will hopefully vindicate us in history.
Bingo. I don't think that was the official title, but I think that was the subtitle. That was the that came after the colon. Also, good news, if you're traveling to Brazil for the Summer Olympics, no need to bring antibiotics because the super bacteria they have found now on the beaches, not treatable by antibiotics. We're all going to die. And lastly, I'm a dumb Jew. So,
well, I want to say, first of all, it's big of you to finally admit it.
Well,
I mean, I didn't want to be the one to say it. But, look, it's growth.
I don't want to say it's in the news that I'm a dumb Jew, but it's in my informational packet of news. We'll get there. First, let's just talk about this. I imagine everybody knows most of the details about this. Omar Mateen, 29-year-old U.S. citizen, born in New York City. I believe, was it the Bronx? Not sure. Living in Florida for years. Reportedly married in 2009 for several months. His ex-wife, I guess they were, or she was from New Jersey at the time, left him after several months when it became clear to her that there was something mentally wrong with him. She speculated that he was bipolar, said that he was using steroids, and was physically abusive towards her. So she got out of that relationship. Reportedly, he became more religious since that time. I guess not so religious as to not have a live-in girlfriend and with whom he had a child, I believe. 3-year-old. According to his father, who also seems to be a rather odd guy, to say the least. I mean, I you know, you can't make these assessments. I only can just report what's being reported. That Mateen was set off by seeing two men kiss in front of his child several months ago. He had supposedly, at least there's evidence that he had been staking out a different a gay club via online, at least there's some evidence. he reportedly called police before he launched the attack and told them that he was swearing his allegiance to ISIS. There's no audio of that at this moment. One would imagine if that exists. Well, let's look at it this way. One would imagine if that happened, then audio exists and that it would be released. Nevertheless, I mean, I think, you know, Eric Rudolph, I suppose, could have called up the police, and he did, I think before the Olympic bombing. And he could have called up and said, I'm swear allegiance to the Pope. And it would have meant nothing other than the guy was a lunatic. So it's very odd the way this is being reported in many respects. Because I certainly think that you could classify this as terrorism, just like you would any other type of hate crime, whether it was an attack on a synagogue or a Hindu temple or a Sikh temple. Apparently, the guy who went into that church that day and shot everybody up, I can't remember his name now off the top of my head. Apparently, he was not charged with terrorism. Although I think that you certainly could have argued that it was. I mean, this is a direct attack on, and there are three, I think, different definitions for terrorism. One having to do with attempting to change policy. One is to intimidate a specific group of civilians. Another involves the killing of civilians to leverage other things. I mean, off the top of my head, those are the three more or less elements. They don't all have to be there. Clearly, this guy was targeting gay people. If he had killed one or two people, let's put it this way. If the guy was a white guy and went in there and his name was Bill Jones and shot two people, I imagine at this point we wouldn't even call it terrorism. And if he had shot 50 people, maybe we'd have gotten to say that gay people are being terrorized. But the notion that this is Islamic radical terrorism, or whatever the words, the magic words that Donald Trump and morons out there want to call it, is in my mind incorrect, inaccurate. I mean, look, we have a problem with fundamentalist religion of all stripes. And certainly we see violence perpetrated in the names of those religions. But here we have a non-coordinated attack, one which the guy only got support, apparently, from U.S. gun laws. And it is the case he had legal guns. Maybe we should just make weapons that are essentially civilian versions of an M16 illegal. I know that would cut into your ability to shoot up a deer and leave only just traces of its hide, or to really take it out of a target for target practice. I don't know about the legality of that. We do make grenades illegal for civilians to carry. And we also make anti-tank shoulder-fired missiles illegal for citizens to own in this country. Seems to me that one could classify this weapon that can kill 50 people as a military-style weapon, right? I mean, how do we dictate that? So hopefully we'll see more calls to just simply get rid of these type of weapons, semi-automatic weapons that can be modified to be automatic, essentially, or can function to kill this many people. I don't know what you're hunting unless you're hunting like an entire herd of buffalo to take out at one time. But even the bomb that the Boston Marathon bombers used only killed 3 people. Obviously, he injured many more in a horrific ways. But, I mean, this is... there is no way to combat the existence of people who have these type of mental issues and this type of hatred, cultural hatred, bigotry of other people, whether it's they hate Jews or whether they hate gays or whether they hate black people or Latinos or Muslims. There's no way that we can prevent these people from existing and attempting to do something violent. There is one way in which we can mitigate the amount of violence they are able to execute. And that is, don't give them the tools to do it. It's why you can't walk into your Home Depot and buy dynamite. Can't use it for hunting, even though it would be fairly effective to get rodents. You could fish with dynamite. You just drop them into a pond. Just watch the fish rise to the top, belly up. But we don't do that because we're not a moronic society, and there just doesn't happen to be a huge dynamite lobby with multiple dynamite manufacturers who have paid millions of dollars. And it is true that in the past 8 years, nobody has said that dynamite constitutes a constitutional right, unlike individuals carrying guns, which the Supreme Court essentially not only ruled for the first time, but even contemplated for the first time in the past decade. Prior to that, virtually no contemplation that the Second Amendment was an individual right. And maybe we're too, you know, maybe we're one Supreme Court away, a justice away with Scalia gone, and maybe we're just one more that needs to flip until we get there, where the court revisits. Say, this is a poor decision. We're going to revisit it. Just in the way that they would have reversed Abood had Scalia not died, which would have basically kneecapped public sector unions. You can go back and you can look at, you can wait for another case to come up Maybe the court just simply rules. Semi-automatic weapon is not contemplated by the Constitution. I would imagine that's not too hard for originalists and textualists because there were no semi-automatic weapons at that time. Right? I mean, if you're really worried about an original reading of the Constitution, were there semi-automatics at that time? Not to my knowledge. I don't think so. Everybody gets to carry a musket. You carry the little metal stick, pack the powder as you drop it down there, and then you put the lead pellet in there. So we'll see. But beyond that, I don't know what you do about something like this.
Just the last part of what you said, you know, everyone didn't get to carry anything. You were allowed to have it in your house. Would be the reading of the Constitution that the
what about
NRA
bear
wants.
Arms?
Well, you have it in your house. You were supposed to have to have a gun in your house so that you could be part of the militia. To bear arms, I mean, you know, Heller. Then they decided that everybody did have a right, which is what you're talking about, wanting to be overturned.
Yeah.
Which I seriously doubt, but would love.
You don't think if the Supreme Court, there was a majority of six liberals and three conservatives, you don't think they would begin to chip away at that?
I think that, well, what Heller was about was that it started that in Washington, D.C., you could not have a firearm in your home to protect yourself. That's what it was.
But why don't you think that they would begin to chip away at that? I mean, you have 100 years of Supreme Court precedents that suggest that right, which was created out of Heller, had not been contemplated. Why wouldn't a Supreme Court that is predisposed against that, why wouldn't they chip away at that?
I hope that they would.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they? I mean, yeah, we don't know.
Because it involves gun confiscation, which is an incredibly dangerous thing. If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be the judiciary. There's absolutely no chance that the legislative or executive branch will do anything.
I agree, but that's what I'm saying. So, I think it's very possible that what the Supreme Court will do will say that it is within the rights of a municipality or a state to make restrictive gun laws again. And that will happen on a local-by-local situation. And then I think there also will ultimately find, I mean, if we get to a place where there's six liberal Supreme Court justices and three conservatives, I think you'll also get to a tightening of what constitutes a weapon that people can own. It is uncontroversial.
That I think is much more likely to happen first, the semi-automatic guns.
Well, we'll see.
But I mean, more importantly to me, the first thing would be for every state to actually have to report to NICS, which is the national database. So currently there's spotty reporting. If someone has been involuntarily.
Yeah, but this is a policy. I'm not talking about that now. I mean, these are all different policies, but I'm talking about what I perceive is going to change if the Supreme Court swings in a certain way. And if they begin to say that, then the federal government will have more authority and the states and the municipalities will have more authority to restrict it. I mean, I think we're in agreement on this, right?
Right.
Okay.
But you're assuming that all states and municipalities will want to restrict
it. No, I'm not. I'm saying that the Supreme Court will allow it to happen and that the federal government will get more ability to restrict what kind of weapons are available.
I hope you're right.
Me too. I mean, because on some level, this is the importance of the Supreme Court. I mean, there's nothing else that we can do about this. There are going to be people who hate gay people. There are going to be people who are going to want to do other people harm. And in this situation where there's no coordination, where this guy has a tenuous connection to an ideology, I guess, but it's, you know, even there's nothing we're going to be able to do ultimately about religious fundamentalism. I mean, I would love to be able to say there's no more fundamentalism in this country or around the world and take back all the killing that has been done in the name of religion, but unlikely to happen.
And particularly, I mean, this scenario is so, like, there's reporting out of Europe that's a little bit more aggressive on why people join ISIS potentially in different demographics. And there's a continuum of, like, maybe a small handful have, like, an extreme ideological commitment. Then there's some hybrid of, like, personal frustrations and ideological commitment. And then there's, like, essentially personal frustration and aggrandizement. And when you're on that end of the spectrum with no operational connection.
Well, that's the thing. And he just hasn't, like, joined ISIS. Saying,
exactly.
He hasn't joined ISIS anymore than I have.
It's all in his head.
That's my point.
It's all in his head.
That's my point.
So the only thing that you could do to anticipate and divert something like this is making access to guns more difficult. There's no security dimension of this at
that's
all.
That's exactly.
It's just not there.
Wait a second. You guys are just repeating what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
No,
is that there is no... The relationship between ISIS and this guy is non-existent. It's not operational. I suppose anybody can say, I'm with ISIS. And he could have just as easily said that I'm with a Christian organization that sees homosexuality as a sin against man and God.
Well, this is where I think that policy is important, because why I brought up Nick's, because this person in particular, it seems like that he did have mental health issues and that he would have been able to buy a gun anyway, but there were various opportunities along his lifespan where he could have been hospitalized. And if
who was going to hospitalize him?
I mean, for domestic violence, if you can, you know.
But I mean, all these things took place.
I'm saying this happens with a lot of these.
I understand.
A lot
but
of
there's
these
only
other
one
mass
thing.
Shooters.
There's only one thing that would have stopped this. There's only one thing. Not Nick's. Not the death of
Islamic fundamentalism.
I'm saying
if you make it that much more difficult to get for
I understand.
To get a gun, if it was extremely difficult
That's
in
right.
this country to
That's right.
get a gun. And we had a database, and right. gun dealers
or if those guns
actually
did not exist.
Followed the laws,
or if the guns didn't exist, he would have killed a couple of people.
But they already exist, and they're already here in the country. They already are here.
I understand.
So I'm saying policy, you know, beyond like just taking all of the guns and destroying them and all of this, that would be the best case scenario. But another good scenario would be if we had a really strong system that really didn't let guns get into these people's hands
right.
legally, because he bought them legally.
Right. Yes. He was
allegedly.
Licensed because
yeah.
he was a security guard.
Well, right. And he should not have been.
Well, I understand. But there's a much easier way to do this. We can bank shot this all we want.
It's not easier because the guns are already around. If you want to get them, you can get them.
Well, if he has to buy them illegally, then he's running afoul of the law. It is harder to commit a crime than to do something legally. I mean, period. And particularly, I would imagine, for somebody who is who's somewhat unstable. It is weird how, though, there is an attempt, not just in this country, and there's obviously, you know, an election here, so there's a broad attempt to, there's a broad attempt to create a narrative out of this, right? I mean, we saw Donald Trump tweeting about it. And the guy who calls me a dumb Jew also, I think that's his, what he's trying to do here.
I never said that.
But in Britain, listen to this sound. I mean, look, there is nothing out of this that isn't about... The only thing that's like vaguely unique about this is that A, the guy was able to shoot that many people. And, you know, at 2 a.m. in a darkened nightclub, that shouldn't be terribly surprising. Someone goes in with that kind of weapon. And B, that the guy was a... of Muslim heritage as opposed to a Christian, because we see most of the anti-gay violence perpetrated by Christians in this country. That doesn't mean that Christianity is necessarily problematic or that all Christians should come out and apologize for their faith. It just means that fundamentalists of different stripes have a problem. But here is Owen Jones on Sky News with, I don't know who these people are, Julia Hartley Brewer and Mark Longost. Owen Jones, I've read quite a bit. He's, these two who repeatedly, for some like bizarro reason, they're just basically British pundits, attempt to sort of deflect from the homophobic nature of this. I'm not quite sure what their agenda is. They never get to that quite yet. But Owen Jones keeps sitting there in sort of like semi-amazement. Like, why are you bankshotting this?
Out of nowhere, he picked a club because it was full of people he regarded as deviants.
Okay, I think part of the issue is, okay, this is it's a hate crime. This is an act of terrorism. All accept it. It was an attack on gay people. Absolutely. It's horrific. However, my guess is this man probably would be as horrified by me as a gobby woman as he would. Genuinely, this is the thing. We don't know right now. We can speculate, but we don't know. We don't know how much of this is motivated by just his homophobia, whether that in any way is related to his religion.
We heard from his own father. Why are we trying to deflect? I mean, what?
Trying to deflect. No. We are trying to reflect what is being said by the authorities here. Brought up his father. I'm now going to quote from what the Telegraph is saying. Mateen's father said his son, a US citizen of Afghan descent, may have targeted the gay community after becoming angry when
he
saw...
Why are you saying this?
After seeing two men kissing in Miami some months ago.
Pause it for a second. So what they're saying is here, there's no foundation to believe he had a problem with gay men. There's some innuendo he may have had a problem with homosexuality, but there could be other reasons why you would attack a gay nightclub at 2 a.m. Because we know in this country that the bedrock of America, the symbol of America to the world, are gay nightclubs. That it is so universally embraced in this country. For so long in this country, we have had this tradition of elevating gay nightlife.
The gay nightclub on a hill.
That if you wanted to strike a heart at America in the form of a radical jihad, it would be, of course, after the towers fall, all that's left are the gay nightclubs.
To be fair, also, knobby woman.
Right.
Angry when
Why
he
are you
saw
saying
two-
this?
After seeing two men kissing in Miami some months ago,
I don't,
he may have been angered by many other things.
I'm sorry,
since then,
I just find this the most astonishing thing I've ever been involved in on television. If he'd walked into a synagogue and massacred dozens of Jewish people, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying now.
We're not saying
You'd be
he's
talking
not homophobic.
About as an anti-Semitic attack. This was a deliberate attack on LGBT people. It was a deliberate attack on the LGBT community.
So, I mean, the point here being that I have never heard, and, you know, you see it broadened into it, like, you know, after the fact by politicians. But I have never heard of the media talking about an attack, let's say, on a synagogue as being anything other than starting with anti-Semitism. Yes, as you begin to sort of contemplate the meaning of it, you hear the speeches afterwards, you hear like, this is an attack on all of us because this is, you know, part of the fabric of our society, that we are a society that respects religious differences or something. It's just very strange that they don't want, you homosexuals can't own this. We all get, it's an attack on all of us.
Fair enough. Okay, yes.
Wait, and that's where they go, right? Wait, here we go. Listen.
To draw parallels in terrorist attacks on people who are being attacked, whether they are enjoying rock music in Paris, whether they are gay people in Florida enjoying a night out.
This was pause it. See, there it is. They're desperately trying to draw parallels. They're desperately trying to draw parallels. That's what they're doing.
On LGBT people. This was a homophobic attack.
Can I say that one of the issue? Okay, I completely accept, as he does, that it was a homophobic attack. But for me, the issue is there are going to be homophobic people. There'll be people who hate black people or who hate gay people or hate Jewish people. There are going to be people who are lunatics. There are going to be people who are fanatics.
Who are lunatics? Stop using these words, Julia.
Is it possible for me to finish one sentence?
If you stop using words like lunatic to talk about homophobic terrorist attacks.
Here's the thing. I'll choose the words I want to use and you choose the words you want to use. Do you understand?
Go for it, Julia.
Okay, well, thank you. So whoever these people are and whatever their motivations are.
They want to make this, at one point I think they say, like, this is an attack on all of us. So this straight guy in Britain, this is an attack on all of us. Well, I mean, if you want to extrapolate it like that, it's an attack on everybody. Including the people living in the Middle East. I mean, there has to be some type of distinction, because the point is, like, how do you must be able to identify what the problem is so that you can address the problem. And if you get up there in a British accent and you're like, all lives matter, Owen, then you can't have a rational response. And let's face it, there's only one rational response to this. It's like, you can't have these type of weapons so readily available to people in society. You can't make it so that guy who has been teetering on the edge of society when it comes to violence and Who knows? Maybe him becoming more religious, if it is the case that he did, tamp down some of the violence tendencies. I mean, they preceded, obviously, this attack by at least reportedly 5 years, 6 years. Guy's beating his wife because she left the lights on or something. When he comes home, there's obviously a problem there. I know. Let's have a sale at Dick's Sporting Goods where you can pick up this rifle for, I don't know if it was Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm making that up, that part.
Yeah, be respectful of Dick's Sporting
Goods. But I mean, but that's the point.
That is the point.
All right, and so then here Owen Jones decides he's had enough of it. Listen to these guys.
A warning, or at least a call from, just going to move it across, a spokesman for Stonewall, saying that people would be feeling vulnerable. Yes. And basically indicating
that security... Are you going to have an LGBT voice talking about it? Interesting. Oh.
Sorry?
Nothing, carry on, go on.
Owen, seriously.
I've had enough of this. Let me go home.
Owen, no, genuinely. Way. We're trying to have a civilised conversation.
I know
you're upset. You're upset.
Yeah, I am.
And you're
very upset.
I'm quite upset. Right. Everyone's upset and angry about this, but storming off a TV set...
Right, well, I think we'll continue the press preview.
And
storming off a TV set, that's the worst thing you could possibly do.
Owen, everyone is displeased. They go back in history. He wasn't beating his wife. He was beating all women. And men too, I would add.
Owen, it's television. Please.
Owen, he was also attacking normal people, not just gays.
It's a... This is a television program. How could you? How could you? Not on television.
Owen, you're going to leave. If I may say, how gay of you.
Oh, my God. I've never.
But ladies and gentlemen, look. If you don't globalize this attack in the sense that it like it was just because this gay nightclub was a soft target to represent the establishment of America in the world. You need to say that so that you can say what Donald Trump on Fox and Friends said this morning. That's why you need this to be larger than a violent guy who decides that he's going to shoot up as many gays as he can. This is Trump on Fox and Friends.
I've been right about a lot of things. I don't want congratulations. I said, what am I doing? I don't want congratulations. What I want them to do is be tough and vigilant. Our government, we're led by a man that is a very, look, right. We're led by a man that either is not tough, not smart, or he's got something else in mind. And the something else in mind, you know, people can't believe it. People cannot be, they cannot believe that President Obama is acting the way he acts and can't even mention the words radical Islamic terrorism. There's something going on. It's inconceivable. Right.
There's something going on, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder what it could be. Did we ever see the birth certificate?
I don't talk about that anymore.
I don't say the words birth certificate. Somebody said it. I didn't say it.
Say, Sam, when you're deep cover as a terrorist and you're orchestrating all this from the inside out, and remember, this is a long process. Change doesn't happen overnight. We're gradually destroying white America, gradually destroying Christian America. I can go to churches. I can eat pork. I can do everything I need to do to be in character, as it were. But what I cannot do is use the phrase radical Islamic terrorism. That is part of this special Sharia contract that I signed in Malaysia, not Indonesia, Malaysia, after I was flown out of Kenya as part of a secret process that began in the 1940s to become president.
Oh, I would also add that what you cannot do is you can forge the document that Hawaii produces, the recorded birth document, but you cannot forge the birth certificate per se, because we all know those are etched in Hawaii in particular in a particular type of woven fabric.
Well, you know,
that if you are Muslim, weakens you.
That is great. You know, let me tell you something, Sam. Later on the show, we're going to talk about an article where you're called a quote-unquote dumb Jew. And let me just be the first to say, I would call you a devilish Jew, a Jew who will be beheaded, a Jew who deserves to suffer the hellfire of Shaitan's reign. Absolutely.
Shaitan's reign.
But dumb? Not entirely.
Right.
Not exactly Harvard Law. You wouldn't be in the sharpest madrasa class, but you're not an idiot. Fair enough.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Allahu Akbar. Yes, by the way, when you see Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keeping it 100.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. That's very 100. But let's move directly from Donald Trump's conspiracies. Here's the spectrum, right? We move from Donald Trump saying birth certificates to Donald Trump saying, I'm not going to say birth certificates. I'm just going to allude to birth certificates without saying it, because I said it in the future, in the past, and I don't need to say it again. People know what I'm talking about. To his one of his supporters, supporters, employees? I'm not exactly sure how you reference Alex Jones at this point. But here's Alex Jones, maybe in his backyard, maybe in his neighbor's backyard, maybe I don't know. Maybe he's got a set that looks like a backyard. Saying that the Orlando shooting was a false flag operation, but not actually a false flag operation, just a sort of broader false flag. So this is a really interesting theory that saying basically the same thing that Donald Trump is saying, right? Donald Trump said Obama's either not tough, not smart, or something else. Well, here is Alex Jones to give you the something else.
The attacks in Orlando were a false flag terror attack. But before the mainstream media takes that out of context, I want to be clear. Our government and the governments of Europe allowed these huge hordes of radical jihadis in and have even allowed them in without vetting them on record, landing at airports across the country and not even checking their passports, IDs, or visas. Our governments are bringing these people in and they're allowing them to operate openly in our society so they can attack us and then have our freedoms taken. So radical Islam is real. It's growing like a cancer. They kill each other in their own countries. It is a civil war religion of destabilization and slavery. You can argue what it's been in the past, but it certainly is that today with Saudi Arabia quarterbacking the whole deal. So yes, it's a false flag in that our government let it happen, run by Obama, just like Merkel did in Germany, so they can then say, oh, we've got to pass laws and hate laws banning your speech because you're making the Muslims angry. Or, oh my gosh, we got to pass other hate laws, you know, to deal with right wingers and stuff. And we need your guns, of course, so you can't protect yourself. So, San Bernardino, all these events, the Major Hassan attack, the government knew at the highest levels and tied the hands of the FBI, the military, and others in every case so they couldn't protect us, so that when the attacks happened, they have an excuse to take more of our freedoms. Yes, the globalists are causing a clash of civilizations. Yes, they funded the Arab Spring. I tried to stop that. Now they've done it. Now we're being hit by the tsunami of the Islamic invasion, and we're being told, submit. I'm not going to submit. I'm going to stand up for freedom. Infowars.com.
Also, don't forget, Infowars.com, and also male beta vitality comes in now a pill form as well. So Infowars.com/male beta vitality.
That was what Bonhoeffer said at the end of his manifesto. Exactly. He's like, and also subscribe to my email blast.
And the other, of course, the other slight fly in the ointment here is that this guy is an American citizen.
Okay, well, except for that part of them allowing in these radical jihadists to come over, he was in America, so he's got to get tougher. Obama has got to get tougher. This is what I'm talking about.
Well, let's hear Obama at a PBS town hall in Elkhart, Indiana. This is a couple, a week ago? I'm not sure I agree with this policy, but this is what Obama getting tougher would look like. And I don't think it's what Donald Trump or Alex Jones had in mind.
Anything, it is suggested that we're trying to wipe away gun rights and impose tyranny and martial law. Do you know that Congress will not allow the Center for Disease Control to study gun violence? They're not allowed to study it because the notion is that by studying it the same way we do with traffic accidents, somehow that's going to lead to everybody's guns being confiscated. When we talked about background checks, if you buy a car, if you want to get a license, first of all, you got to get a license. You have to take a test. People have to know that you know how to drive. You don't have to do any of that with respect to buying a gun. And when we talked about doing effective background checks, it was resisted because the notion was we were going to take your guns away. I just came from a meeting today in the Situation Room in which I've got people who we know have been on ISIL websites, living here in the United States, U.S. citizens, and we're allowed to put them on the no-fly list when it comes to airlines but because of the National Rifle Association, I cannot prohibit those people from buying a gun. This is somebody who is a known ISIL sympathizer, and if he wants to walk in to a gun store or a gun show right now and buy as many weapons as ammo as he can, nothing's prohibiting him from doing that, even though the FBI knows who that person is. So, sir, I just have to say respectfully that there is a way for us to have common sense gun laws.
So there you have it. I mean, I don't know if the terrorist watch list is a terribly effective way of doing it, but if when you're talking about getting tougher or, I don't know, preventing people from doing it, the only way for that to happen in this instance would be to narrow people's access to guns by A, narrowing people's access to guns, and B, narrowing the guns that are considered legal.
Can we flesh something out for a second? When you say that you have a problem with it, is it just the basic premise of using something like the terrorist watch list to infringe on people's rights, period? Just that is a metric is problematic? Is that what it raises your concerns?
Yeah, I just don't know that the terrorist watch list is the best mechanism in which to curtail people's rights.
Right.
But I am much more comfortable with a curtailment of that supposed right because I don't perceive it to be one in the first place.
Right.
So rather than selectively deny people certain rights that are available to all based on that, I would like to crack down on all this, the whole notion that it's a right. Now, obviously, there's a limited ability to do that. Although, you know, if people are genuinely interested in that, the first thing you do is you make sure that a Democrat is in office in January, because then you are at least no longer have that majority that finds this individual right. And then you move forward to begin to whittling on it. Let's go to the phone, and then we're gonna head into the fun half. You're calling from a 336 area code. Who's this?
Hi, this is Juan from North Carolina.
Hey, Juan, what's on your mind?
Well, this weekend I went to the Democratic State Convention for North Carolina.
Yep.
And I just found it a little weird. I'd never been to one before, and apparently what you do at the state convention, other than electing delegates and electors, is that you do the party platform, and you pull language from the platform, which you want to debate later, and so that language from the platform doesn't get approved by the convention if you don't get back to it. And there were things being pulled that it just freaked me out. Like, one person pulled a resolution or part of the platform that stated we were against the TPP, and the person that wanted it pulled said he didn't want to embarrass Obama. That was his reason. I couldn't believe it. And there were other ones like people pulling language because, and this happened twice, because they didn't understand it. But those were their stated reasons for wanting to pull some of the language from the platform.
I mean, aside from disagreeing, which I imagine you do, and I certainly do, the idea that, A, like, I would want it in the platform specifically to embarrass Obama and to prohibit other people
exactly.
from voting for him. I mean, that is why I would do it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, was that surprising though to you? I mean, listen, Obama enjoyed a high degree of popularity with Democrats throughout his administration. In many times, he was sort of inoculated from criticism. Certainly, you know, it's not that long ago where people were calling me a firebagger or a emo prog or whatever. I don't even remember what. But and people were very, very worried about criticizing Obama. And I imagine there's still a big chunk of there of that that exists. And so that's not so surprising to you, is it?
Well, I guess a little bit because, like, you know, I felt like the delegation was maybe a little less lefty than I thought they were because, like, one of the guys pulled postal banking after the chair told him what it was. So,
look, man, not everybody listens to the show. Not everybody understands what it is that they're voting on, to be honest with you.
They just sit so long that I couldn't actually rise in support of postal banking because we never got to it. And so now it goes to the state executive committee, and who knows whether or not they'll keep it in, you know?
Well,
so I don't know. I was a little frustrated by that. So yeah. So I don't know. It certainly wasn't Nevada, but at times it was very frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, there's a reason why it's not easy to take over the party because it's very tedious. Honestly, it just comes down to just the incredible amount of tedium. But you know what? I mean, this is not anything new. Like, you know, I belong to a co-op, and I'll tell you, it's the general meetings there also can be tedious. I mean, and I belong to two different ones actually. And it's, you know, it's annoying. And it's, you know, and this, I send my kid to one of these places and I buy my food at the other places. You know, there's tedium in every organization. And there are people there who you disagree with, but, hang in there. I'm glad you're going. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, sir.
Bye. All right. Let's take one more before we go to the fun half. You calling from a 619 area code. Who's this?
You know, Sam, you're about as right as a clock on Islamic terrorists when it's broken twice a day. I don't know how you manage.
All right, now, Doug, hold on for 1 second.
On the
Doug,
air.
Doug, hold on for 1 second.
I don't know.
Doug, hold on for 1 second. Doug, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Well, first off, let me tell you. Let me do two things. One. Let me tell our audience, because usually you don't get to have access to this audience, and I want to tell them who you are, just to put it in context. Doug is a self-proclaimed...
Yeah, hold on. In the room.
Okay,
the only...
I'm gonna mute you for a second, just so you know you're being muted right now, so I can talk and properly introduce you. Doug is a self-proclaimed constitutionalist who is very worried about our vote being... inaccurate because of the hordes of undocumented immigrants who he believes are voting fraudulently. He's an avowed Donald Trump supporter. I think that was about it. Oh, and I would say the second thing about how I stay on air is that I'm my own boss. All right, go ahead, Doug. What do you want to say?
How can you manage to do that? You're stifling. You're talent. The only reason why you're on here because it's a tribute to your comedy talent. It's not to your ability to be correct on the issues of the day. The only reason why you're on the air is because you're funny. You and Mike are funny. But if you had a batting average to be about Islamic terrorism and being correct on the issues of the day, you'd be down in the minor leagues. What is the hell wrong with you?
I'm sorry. Do you think this is the major leagues? I'm sitting in front of... an IKEA screen that I colored blue.
We're not even AAA, man.
He just hung up on me.
He did?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, he did. He freaked out. Freaked out and probably accidentally hit his phone. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, we could always upgrade this this backdrop with your help. Become a member today of this minor league operation, ladies and gentlemen. Someday we'll graduate to the big leagues, where I will undoubtedly fire myself for my batting average. That's basically what it'll come down to.
We reach a certain level of subscribers, just like I can't do. Ironically, I can't do this anymore. Because I can't have that audience and be as wrong as I am.
No, that's it. At one point, I'm going to have force you all to fire me.
The integrity of the dumb Jew.
Join. Oh, yeah. We'll have to get to the dumb Jew stuff. And the I've been called a dumb Jew by someone who is I don't know. I'm not going to make an assessment. I'm just going to read the reporting on this
guy. And not
guy.
Just by Matt while you're not in the office.
Right. Exactly. Oh my God. By somebody who I've never met. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. Jointhemajorityreport.com. Sign up today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is your support that makes this show possible. Also, justcoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY to get 10% off. If you buy crap from Amazon, go to our link at majorityreportkickback.com. If you've never tried jet.com and you're looking for an Amazon alternative, folks, by all means, I think you get 15% off your first purchase through jet.com. You go to majorityreportkickback.com, click on the jet.com link, bookmark it, buy all your stuff there, and we get a kickback. Also, give us a review on iTunes. Go sign up for Two Dope Boys. All of this, many different ways you can support this program. Head to majority.fm, click on the support the show. You'll see all of the offers that we have. So if you're a member and you never hear the ads, you can check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break and head to, I think the voting at podcastawards.com, I think it's over for Ring of Fire. But if you head over there, Ring of Fire. podcastawards.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll be right back after this.